You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Justin, you were talking about the real challenges for the front row for the Crusaders and just the sheer number of injuries, highlighted by the fact that John Arafa came in, 100 games for the Blues, and here he is at 41 years of age playing for the Crusaders. So the question I've got is then, what sort of side do they put out this week against the Hurricanes? Do they put a full-strength side out, or do they put out a second-string front row, knowing that really they can't finish probably any lower than where they are on the table, which is second?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I actually forgot to say before, when you did ask me about the centres and David Harvilli, who's been in such good form, and given that both teams did approach it in the right manner, I thought it was a bit of a shame that we didn't get to see Harvilli versus Jordy Barrett, because you would think they're going head-to-head direct for that 12 jersey for the All Blacks. And obviously the Hurricanes haven't played the Crusaders so far this year. It was the one opportunity where we could see these two guys go head-to-head, go at each other. And now with Harvilli out, that won't happen. But yeah, back to your question. It's really interesting, isn't it? Where they have their mindset. I think we sort of spoke about it yesterday.
My point is, do you risk your stars this week and save them, or do you put your best team out and get some momentum?
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? The hard thing about it is, Watto, that when you're at this stage of the season, and I know through my time with the Crusaders, when we were hitting this part of the season, we weren't looking to hold back, put it that way. We were looking to make statements in the last 2 to 3 rounds of the comp, in the regular round robin, to put uncertainty to a degree, maybe a bit of respect, if not that, hopefully a bit of fear in the opposition that we were, should you come to get us, ready to rock and roll. We were on good form. We had players playing well. We had real rhythm in our game plan, and we weren't going to back off. And I'm of the mindset that that's Scott Razor Robinson's thought process as well. I certainly feel that they've got to sort of probably macro manage a few areas that are of concern should they, suffer more problems in a game. But I don't ever feel that, it's all about planning for the worst. It's just about dealing with what is
yep.
in the now.
Yep.
And the now is just, we'll put out our best side. If it's John Afoa at tight head prop, then he's there, and we just get on with it. And if we somehow miraculously get David Harvilli back in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks out of the blue, then that's great. But right now, at the moment, we're just going to put our best side out and stop us if you can, Hurricanes.
Justin, I'd like you to you've been there. Just take us through how the week in the lead-up to a game works. How much do you build your game plan around your opposition? Is it 80% you stick to what you do and your structures, and then you tweak it based on what they do offensively and perhaps the way they set up defensively, and every team will be slightly different? I mean, how does that work? When do you sit down? When are those conversations had? Does everybody look at the video? Just talk us through that process.
Yeah, it's a good question, Watto. And absolutely, you do break down the game and break down the week around the opposition and the team you're playing. The coaches, believe it or not, would have done their research for this particular game at the weekend, to put it in perspective to people listening, 2 weeks ago, sometimes even 3 weeks ago. They are working behind the scenes, looking at their future games and starting to already plan towards what they're going to do, and looking at trends, getting algorithms, and then starting to think about how that they put pressure on the opposition and how they slightly tweak their game plan. But they don't tell or talk to the players about that. then come to this week, come Monday, they will present to the players a picture. And the players will look at it and they'll say, well, this is what we've seen. This is the trends of the Hurricanes. This is where they're strong. They will certainly say one guy that we want to keep out of the game as much as we can would be Ardie Savea. So we've sort of got a game plan around keeping him out of the game as much as we can. And when he is in the game, putting him under the most pressure that we can so that he doesn't thrive. And then secondly, they will go, this is where they're strong. This is where we're strong. This is where we feel we can attack you. Then what do you think? And then they'll give it over to the leadership group who will be in charge of game plan, line out calls, scrum attack, and they will have their input. And then they'll correlate what the players think with what the coaches have seen and go into the week of training to beat the Hurricanes. And that's the process.
And equally, the Hurricanes will be doing the same thing. Okay, so from what you've seen of this Hurricanes team, what will be... You've mentioned clearly, and everybody knows, it's take Ardie Savea out of the game, and I think you go a long way to shutting down that guy that sort of leads the way and everybody sort of follows. But the other areas that they will be concerned about, that they'll be highlighting?
Well, they'll be worried about them getting too much good, quick ball, because if Roygaard gets on the front foot, he's dangerous. They will be looking to put a heap of pressure on their tens, because they'll feel that that's an area that the Hurricanes are growing. They've got Brett Cameron back. Aidan Morgan's been going well. But in general, it's an area that the Hurricanes have had a hole and a void that they haven't replaced since Bowden Barrett. So they'll look to heap a lot of pressure on that jersey. If I could give people an idea of, well, what do you mean by that? There's no doubt in my mind that the All Blacks, every time Quade Cooper gets the jersey on, for the Wallabies, the All Blacks know that he does not like people getting under his skin, cramping his time, putting him under pressure, tackling him to the ground and letting him know that he's not as pretty as what he thinks he is, believe me. And he's never played well against the All Blacks, Quade Cooper. If you go across all the test matches, and that's the All Blacks just being smart and picking on a player every time. He must feel awful. He must be thinking, oh no, I've got these guys at the weekend. There'll be 23 of them coming at me and making my life a misery. That's the way that I think they'll go at the Hurricanes. They'll go at that jersey really hard because they won't want Proctor, Ryasi, and Co. Morby. They won't want those guys getting into the game. Naholo, they'll want to shut them down. So they'll try and do it before they can get ball. And then secondly, they will go hard at the tight five. I thought the Chiefs, Hurricanes put up a decent fight against them. Yes, no Ardie Savea, but I thought in that game in horrible conditions, the Chiefs, when they got into the 22, they just got physical with that tight five and they just bullied them a bit. And the Crusaders, I think, will target that zone as well.
We touched yesterday on Walker Leiweri, the lock for the Hurricanes, and his sort of rise, but perhaps the one area of weakness is discipline for him. Is that a discussion where you try and niggle or try and exploit the discipline of a player, knowing that, you know, they can lose it and they can give penalties away, that you can live rent-free inside their head, which leads to them doing dumb things?
Yep. It's just a little bit of needle, you know, like just a little bit.
What, halfback's just a little bit?
You've got to be very careful. Yeah, you know, we've got extremes in this, haven't we?
Yeah,
really,
we have.
When you think about it,
yeah.
But there's a balance to get right, and that's not overemphasizing the opposition too much. So, like I said, they'll probably go real hard at that 10 jersey and Ardie, keeping him out of the game, and then in their big team dynamic, they'll say get physical, particularly in the 22. With the forward pack, make them make tackles, make them keep getting up. But they won't try and focus too much on all individuals, because that then takes away their pattern and their thought process. But in the back of their minds, they will look at discipline. And all those algorithms I'm talking about, they will look at, this is how unbelievably down to the sort of second in the game that is now analysed, they'll be able to look at their football field on a picture, and the analyst will put it up there and he'll have red dots all over the field at where the Hurricanes give away their penalties the majority of the time. And so they'll go, okay, this is where they really feel the heat, and their discipline waivers. And secondly, they'll have a list of players up there, and these are their major infringers. And alongside that, it'll also have these guys also, when they majorly infringe, get yellow cards. That's how much research they do. So yeah, Walker Lawiri will definitely be in their sights, but it might not be in a team focus, but the players will be aware of it because they would have been given that information.
Mm. A loss for the Crusaders this weekend, would it be a major setback heading into the playoffs, or would they just look at this as, you know, just part and parcel and the lack of depth, and they've got the experience, they've got the history, they've got the legacy to just continue to move forward?
No, in my mind, I've always got a huge amount of respect for the Hurricanes because they're such a dangerous side. And to be honest, if there was ever a side I really didn't want to meet come finals football, it was them, because they were just capable on their day. You know, remember a couple of years ago, I think it was, they came down to Christchurch and they put the Crusaders away. They just produced the performance. They're capable of doing that. So you do not want to give them any form of confidence. You don't want to show any vulnerability against them. You want to keep, for the want of the old rugby cliche, the foot on the throat. Keep them down and don't let them puff their chest out. They're too dangerous a side to allow to do that. If I'm Razor and I'm Sam Whitelock and I'm that team, Scott Barrett, all their key decision makers, their big players, I'm thinking, don't give them a sniff, boys. Just put them away on their home patch. They're not going to be back there because it's unlikely they'll have any home finals football. Just don't make them feel good, because if they do, they could come and bite us in the ass at some stage in finals football, even in a final. So, no, they won't button off, mate. I surely hope they don't. I think I know them well enough that they'll go at them big time.